Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the MS Wellness and Work conference call. Your host for today is Barbara McKeon. Ms. McKeon, you may now begin.
Thanks, Jenny. Good evening, everyone. My name, as Jenny said, is Barbara McKeon. I'm the Director of Employment Programs and Services at the New York City Southern New York Chapter. I want to welcome everyone to the final call in our 2011 Employment Teleconference Series, MS Wellness and Work. We'd like to thank EMD Serono for the sponsorship of this program, and the New York City Southern New York Chapter would like to thank the Manhattan Society for their sponsorship as well. Joining me as your host on the call this evening is Steve Nissen, Senior Director of Employment and Community Programs with the National Capital Chapter in Washington, D.C. Please know that this evening's call will be recorded and available to you at the end of the series if you would like. 2 weeks ago, we talked about managing the most common MS symptoms of fatigue and cognitive dysfunction on the job. Now, with a medical condition such as MS, there's so little one can control. We don't know when or if an exacerbation will occur, and if so, what one will experience. Tonight's call is going to focus on ways to take control by maintaining a healthy lifestyle and how, through fitness and nutrition, one may be able to minimize the impact of fatigue and cognitive dysfunction. We have two speakers tonight, and after both of our speakers have completed their presentations, there will be time for your questions. If you have some questions, please jot them down during the call so you're prepared to ask them during our Q&A period. Be sure to ask your question completely, as we will be muting your line after your question is asked to allow us to get to as many questions as possible, so there will not be an opportunity to dialogue with the speakers. We will do our very best to get to all the questions, but if time runs out, Steve and I will give you our contact information so you can follow up with us, and we'll do our best to get the answers. At the conclusion of tonight's call, we will be polling the audience in an effort to evaluate this program. This is a short survey of only 6 questions, so if possible, please stay on the line until the conclusion of the program and answer the questions, as we are really interested in your feedback. We're also going to be sending out a larger survey to everyone who's participated in all the 6 calls, because sometimes I know people want to say more and there isn't really the opportunity to do that over the teleconference. So you will be getting another longer survey if you're interested in giving additional feedback down the road. So our first speaker tonight is Adele Cahill, who has been a personal trainer and fitness instructor for over 20 years. In 1998, she began doing seminars and training programs as well as home training for individuals with MS. From 2001 to 2010, she led the Gateway to Wellness program for the National Capital Chapter of the MS Society. Recently, she started a fitness company that focuses on fitness contracts in the government. Adele?
Hi. Thank you. Again, my name is Adele Cahill, and I'm a fitness trainer out of Silver Spring, Maryland. I am pleased to be speaking with you this evening regarding my topic on exercise and multiple sclerosis. I would like to start out with some objectives for this evening's presentation. In order to manage symptoms of MS through exercise, I would first like to go over some of the benefits of exercise. Then I would like to discuss the components of fitness and various guidelines, as well as learning how to incorporate a fitness plan to suit your needs. Then I want to lastly discuss the types of fitness programs out there. Okay, let's start off with discussing some of the benefits of exercise. I have broken these down into 3 main categories. Looking at the first one, physical improvements, you see that exercise improves muscular strength, builds better bones, improves your cardiovascular system, as well as building better balance and coordination. Exercise also increases flexibility and joint range of motion, and this can reduce symptoms of spasticity. Exercise can also promote better sleep and, most importantly, reduces the symptoms of fatigue. Now, under a category of emotional changes, we have exercise as a stress reducer and helping with depression. Studies have actually shown that chemicals released during exercise are responsible for reducing stress and depression. These two also tie in with reducing symptoms of fatigue because the mind and body connection is so strong. For example, Exercise reduces stress, and less stress can help with depression and improve sleep, which can help with fatigue. Other emotional changes include increase in confidence and self-esteem, as well as making more social contacts through fitness-related activities. The last category under benefits of exercise are the general health improvements that can be seen. These things such as reduction in blood pressure, improved cholesterol readings, better bone density, helping with weight management, and also studies have suggested there is a positive association between fitness level and cognitive functioning in people with MS. And I believe you were given a handout of this study, and I encourage you, if you haven't seen it already, to read it because it basically adds the evidence that exercise greatly benefits persons with MS. Okay, so we've talked about the benefits of exercise. Now I want to begin to show you how we can make some changes through four main components of fitness. And these aren't in any particular order, but I do want to point out each section. First, we have cardiovascular fitness. We have muscular endurance, muscular strength, and flexibility. Now, the textbook definition of cardiovascular fitness is basically referring to the ability of the circulatory and respiratory systems to supply oxygen to skeletal muscles during sustained physical activity. Examples of exercises that increase cardio fitness are walking, running, cycling, swimming, and basically any exercise that increases your heart rate over a sustained period of time. Next, we have muscular strength, and this is the use of resistance to build muscle strength and size. Examples of this would be weights or resistance bands, maybe your own body weight, and also water-resistant exercises. Now, these exercises should be geared to encourage function. For example, a squat or a leg press exercise is very functional if you are getting in and out of a chair, while strengthening your ab muscles help with getting up from a lying down position, and doing arm strength exercises will help pull yourself up. And actually, in my experience and working with MS patients over the years, I've noticed great improvements as far as muscular strength when performing exercises that are really geared to their needs. So it may be beneficial to seek out a trainer for one or two sessions so that you can at least have help setting up an initial program. Muscular endurance is the ability for a person to exert themselves for a long period of time. And it's usually described in either aerobic or anaerobic exercise. Aerobic would be with oxygen, and anaerobic would be without oxygen. And basically, this would be repetitions the ability for your muscles to go over a longer period of time and building your endurance. Lastly, we'll talk about flexibility. This is a big one. A person's flexibility refers to the ability of your joints to move through a full range of motion. Stretching and range of motion exercises will increase one's flexibility, and a daily regimen of stretching can actually lengthen muscles to help decrease spasticity or muscle stiffness due to the electrical imbalance MS causes. Exercises can be done individually or with the assistance of a helper or even a prop such as a towel, a tube, or a band. Okay, let's look at some guidelines in setting up a fitness program. We're going to use what's called the FIT principle. And these are four variables in any fitness program. And if you increase one or more of these variables, your actual fitness level will increase too. The four variables are frequency, intensity, time, and type. Frequency is basically how often or how many times a week am I going to exercise? Intensity is what will my effort level, and I will describe this in terms of rate of perceived exertion, and I'll get to that in a bit. Time is how long will I work out? And type, what specific exercise am I choosing? So let's use the FIT principle to describe a walking workout. Frequency might be 3 times a week. Your intensity, a medium effort. Time, maybe 15 to 20 minutes. And type of exercise is actually walking. Okay, rate of perceived exertion is a preferred tool in measuring exercise intensity because it is easy to implement and requires you to make that mind-body connection. Okay, What I mean is that only you can be the judge of how hard you're working, and each day your symptoms may be different. So on the days you are more tired, you will naturally slow down and do less intensity. Also, an important point I would like to make is that some medications interfere with our exercise heart rate, so it's important to not always rely on a heart rate monitor because the reading may not be true due to medications. The rate of perceived exertion chart goes from 0 to 10. 0 to 1 is basically what we're doing now. We're sitting here, we're listening, there's no exertion happening. A 2 to a 3 would be about a light exertion level, and this is how you should feel when you're warming up or cooling down and stretching. 4 to 5 is a medium exertion. You're breathing a little bit faster. 6 to 7 is actually moderate exertion. And at this point, you're breathing pretty hard now, and you can talk, but it's getting definitely tougher. 8 to 9 is very hard exertion. You're breathing hard. You can only say a few words. And 10 would be the hardest exertion, and you probably couldn't keep this pace for more than a minute. Speaking would be impossible, and this is your limit. Now, a beginner exercise, most beginners and most people that I've trained that do have MS usually like to keep about a 4 to 5, a medium exertion level. This allows you to, and you'd have to experiment, but this allows you to do an exercise and then feel, you know, at least have a recovery that's quicker. If you push yourself a little harder, you may find that you may need a day or two to recover, and that might not always be beneficial to you. Let's get back to the FIT principle again. I'm going to show you a strength workout, just an example using the FIT principle, because it's a little different than the cardio one. The frequency would be pretty much the same, 2 to 3 times a week. Your intensity for the actual time that you are lifting might be a little higher, a moderate exertion level, or a rate of perceived exertion of 6 to 7. The time you're going to do maybe 1 to 3 sets, 8 to 12 repetitions each. And the type, you can use weight machines or free weights, maybe some resistance tubing, weighted balls, or even your own body weight. I'd like to talk a little bit about types of fitness plans. There's different types of exercise programs you may want to choose, or maybe you're already experiencing. Individual workouts. These are beneficial if you are self-motivated and enjoy time alone. It gives you time to think and reflect on the day, or it also can be a good way to start your day. Group exercise programs, such as a fitness class or even a team activity, can really be quite social and is a great way to keep you accountable for your workouts. People who like that team mentality or maybe just need that extra motivation can really benefit from the group workouts. Strength training can be done individually or with a partner or trainer. The advantage of another person around is that you can take turns and help spot one another, as well as having some great feedback. Mind and body workouts, such as yoga and tai chi, are beneficial to people with MS. The pace of the class, or even if you're using a videotape, can be geared to your ability, and some of the workouts can really improve balance and coordination, as well as flexibility. Water aerobics is another good choice. Cooler water helps maintain lower core body temperature even during the vigorous activity, and it's especially helpful for people with heat sensitivity issues. The resistance of water can be used to improve muscle strength. The slower movement in water provides an opportunity to work on skills such as balance and coordination, which may be harder to do on land. So water aerobics is a good choice. And then we have balance and core strength workouts, and these are great for improving function and can be done in a group or individual setting or with a trainer. And lastly, I would like to include the Wii workouts. This is a little new to me. I haven't used many of them, but I know my clients have. They really love this type of workout because they can pace themselves with a virtual trainer, and the feedback is immediate, as well as it's actually fun to do, so you don't feel like you're taxing yourself as much as if you were in the gym. And you could also do it in the privacy of your own home, so it's very ready to use. Okay, let's move right into, speaking of home, there's home versus the gym. I'd like to talk a little about the pros and cons to this. Basically, it does come down to the individual and their needs, but I want to point out some of the advantages and disadvantages of both. The home workout can provide you with more freedom to work out at any time of the day, for as long or as little as you want. There are no membership fees to toupee, or travel time. If you prefer a more private setting, this is the way to achieve it. But there's some disadvantages. You may be limited with space, equipment, and so the workouts may be limited for you. If you're alone and you fall or injure yourself, help may not be easy to get to. On the other hand, in a gym setting, you have lots of people around for assistance if needed. There's lots of equipment and different types of workouts to participate in. The membership fees are usually involved, but trainers are also available to assist when needed. And lastly, the travel can be an issue with some individuals, so look for a gym or recreation center that is easy to get to so you're more apt to use it. Okay. There's some considerations that are important when planning your workouts. I'd like to go over just a few of these. First, if your workplace has a fitness center, you are at the greatest advantage. I actually work full-time at the National Archives building, and they have a beautiful fitness center for their government employees. So a lot of people have that. There's no excuse not to really take advantage of a free fitness center. The ability to go to a gym or center any point of the day is the most beneficial, and that would be up to you. If you don't have a gym or center at work, then doing some light exercises at your desk can actually be another option. If you need some assistance with learning some of these light seated exercises, I believe most chapters can provide you with a book of illustration of seated exercises and stretches. I touched earlier on the benefits of having a personal trainer, and I realize this can be a pricey option to meet one on a regular basis, especially when they are meeting you at your home. But having a trainer set up a program for you in one or two sessions is certainly worth its weight in gold. They can set up a program, and then you can either meet with them once every couple of months to review, or you can just keep going with the program they set up. It's very, very productive. Midday walks and short exercise breaks are also a great way to sneak in fitness and give you a mental break so you can be more productive during the day. It kind of gives you that boost of energy. And definitely look at what time of day to exercise. If you're a morning person, or does a midday break work best for you, or do you like to work out in the afternoon? Workout times may even vary depending on your energy level, so on any particular day. So listen to your bodies and do what works when you can. It's important to get the workouts in when you can. Working out versus indoors versus out. Well, this can vary greatly depending on the weather and the time of day. If it's summer, dress lightly and make sure that the heat, make sure you're not exercising, obviously, in the middle of the day when it's hot. So try to pick cool shaded routes and the coolest part of the day. It is important to keep cool and stay hydrated when exercise as well. And there are some assistive devices such as cooling vests or gel packs you can wear. And also, some of my clients have done what is called pre-cooling before they exercise, such as taking a cool shower to lower body temperature and drinking plenty of cool water before and during a workout session. And lastly, I would like to say that the benefits of exercise outweigh the risks. It is very important to move every day, even if it's just for 5 minutes at a time. I hope that you all seek out an exercise program that is right for you and that you are motivated to increase your fitness level. Thank you very much for letting me speak to you this evening, and I look forward to your questions.
Great. Thank you so much, Adele, for all that wonderful information, and I'm sure there will be questions. But before we take any questions, we have another speaker, and our next speaker is Lisa Cohn. She's a licensed registered dietitian. She is the president and founder of Park Avenue Nutrition in New York City, which is an integrative nutritional wellness center serving children and adults with food and diet education, massage, reflexology, and acupuncture services. Lisa brings 20 years of research, writing, and lecturing to her nutrition practice. She did her undergraduate work at the University of Rhode Island, holds two master's degrees, one in medical science from Emory University School of Medicine, and the second in health promotion from Columbia University. She began her career at the American Health Foundation in New York and has worked as a nutrition director in the Children's Cardiovascular Health Center at Columbia University Medical Center and as director of nutrition education and training department of pediatrics at Maimonides Medical Center. Lisa, by the way, can be reached at www.parkavenuenutrition.com. lisaclark.com. So Lisa?
Thank you, Barbara, and it's my pleasure to speak with all of you this evening. And we do have some handouts, so I hope that everybody has them. If you do not, feel free to contact your local chapter person and they will provide them with you. As well, they will also be posted on the MS website. So my pleasure. And tonight we're going to talk about eating healthy as a natural energizing strategy. The information presented comes from my experience as a medical nutrition therapist and registered dietitian, having worked with a variety of clients over many years, and most recently over the last 9 years at the Park Avenue Nutrition Wellness Center in New York. I hope you'll find this information useful in energizing your overall day at work and at home, and thank you for joining me. The overall aim this evening will be the purpose of addressing nutritional strategies for optimizing your daily energy and for reducing fatigue. We will aim to address the following objectives: reviewing the role of foods and eating as daily nourishment for your body and your mind. I will present a basic review of foods to choose for higher energy levels and which ones to avoid. We'll then identify 10 strategies to maintain and increase your natural energy to consider in your daily routine. We'll then provide additional resources for nutrition support. So let's begin. Strong, steady energy equals reduced fatigue. The first step will be to use the role of food and eating as a daily nourishment for your mind and body. We often think of nutrition just in terms of vitamins and minerals, calories, carbohydrates, and such. But indeed, eating and nourishment through food is a much broader experience than just the vitamins and minerals and the nutrition facts panel. So my overall aim today is to nourish you from mind and body, from head to toe, to remember that food can be pleasurable and food does provide nourishment in those forms. The body's main source of energy is food. We must eat and take in water. Foods provide additional nourishment from natural qualities, sensory stimulation, and pleasure. Eating is a time for the body to take a break from work, to nourish and restore mental and physical energy, a very important point which many of us often forget. Timeliness of your meals and pacing of our day is critical to maintaining our overall energy and to taking breaks to address fatigue and to restore. Sharing meals with others also nourishes and energizes us. Eating requires physical work and decision-making, which do require energy. This can be tiring mentally and physically. Eating for better energy also should consider your basic nutritional choices. So to review a basic food choice that will offer you higher energy levels and which to avoid includes choosing freshly grown foods, herbs, spices, oils, as they contain highest nutrient value and are easiest to digest. Choose to eat moderate portions, as overeating drains energy. Choose fresh oils and eat them at room temperature. They support the brain and nerve function and offer a steady supply of energy. Choose foods which are simple to prepare. Avoiding certain areas will also optimize your energy. Firstly, we must try to avoid highly processed foods that contain added sugars, fats, salt, heated oils, other artificial flavors and substances. Second, brain energizers, which may be short-term, such as caffeine and sugars, should also be avoided. Now let's address 10 strategies that may offer you natural forms of energy and can also give you overall boost for vitality and extra energy to mentally keep you in the game when it comes down to making food choices. What I've shared is actually 10 specific strategies which we'll go over together. it does include a lot of information, so I do encourage you to pay attention closely and also remind yourself that you can have this online should you not be able to have it in front of you today. So our initial strategy is to allow you to get the pleasant stimulation from food, and that one is to choose colorful meals. We all know that choosing freshly grown and prepared foods have wonderful qualities of aromatic, flavorful, and vibrant color. These foods offer nutrient power as well, with natural fibers and energy for daily living. Try to incorporate your vegetables into sandwiches, wraps, mixed greens, cucumbers, tomatoes, all those gorgeous colors from the rainbow that do provide natural hydration as well. It's simple to add vegetables and fresh herbs to omelets, salads, soups, as well as fresh parsley and herbs into meals to brighten them up. The second strategy is to satisfy your cravings. As a nutritionist, my clients always say to me, I know you're going to tell me what I shouldn't eat, but this really is not a diet and it's not restrictive. It should be energizing by being satisfying nutritionally to your body as well as to your mind and your personal experience. So I encourage you to choose foods with great taste, whether they have crunchy textures, whether they have creaminess, whether they're of a choice from a childhood memory that somebody made for you. That is what gives us positive energy. So keep your mind and figure out your cravings. If you love crunchy, try nuts or granola. If you enjoy a creamy texture, try a Greek yogurt. In fact, even mix them together for a cereal sundae of sorts. So be true to your hunger cravings, and you will find that your energy will be better. Overeating or choosing foods which are high in sugars and fats or too heavily processed should be considered in moderation because they can sap your energy. Our third strategy is to start your day with a healthy meal. After a fast of 6 hours or so, your body is ready to be revitalized with a nourishing meal. Breakfast is the most important meal for most of us. It is the first of the day, and it really should be both attractive to your eye, your nose, and your taste buds. It should have an uplifting energy to support your brain for the start of your workday. It should also provide steady energy for your body to work through the first few hours of your day. Skipping breakfast or having poor nutritional choices can seriously derail you from having a high-energy day. So choosing a nourishing breakfast will help control your cravings for artificial energy sources such as caffeine, sugar, and even nicotine. In the recipes and meals that are included in the material, you'll find some simple suggestions such as smoothies or juices that you can also try. The fourth strategy is to actually take time and enjoy your first meal. So many of my clients tell me they're rushing out the door and eating on the run or not even able to get something before they sit down to work. So remember that enjoying a meal and having some time in the morning is really the best way to pace yourself. And I know that with difficulties to even get ready for work, sometimes that the food gets left behind as a last choice. So I encourage you to really set yourself up for success in the morning by enjoying a few minutes of peace and quiet, should you be able to get them, that will set you up for a higher energy day. Perhaps listening to light music, reading the news, or sitting down with a family member or even a pet can really help to let you get a few minutes of a head start. So aim to balance the healthy ingredients along with less nutritious ones, and make sure that you include favorites. Hydration is very important. As we discussed for exercise, it is also important for overall nutritional well-being. We know it's necessary for life, and as a fresh plant or a flower or leaf needs hydration to remain perky and physically sturdy, so do you. The most common cause of low energy and headaches is dehydration. So drinking water throughout the day promotes better digestion and will keep you feeling lighter and energized. Your skin will also be clearer and perkier with adequate water. Keep it interesting by trying a variety of water temperatures. Many of my clients find that room temperature actually is a lot easier to get down. Try it as flat or bubbly. Experiment with naturally flavored waters by adding a slice of fruit, a slice of vegetable, a squeeze of citrus, or even a leaf of a fresh herb such as mint. Try supplementing your water intake with a splash of a flavorful antioxidant-rich juice, which is so popular, or an herbal tea. These beverages should have no artificial sweetener and up to a teaspoon of a raw sugar, honey, or sweetener to make you feel like you're getting something that has flavor. What follows in this is a number of inviting ways to drink water, and you can sort through that at your leisure, but I do encourage you to remind yourself that having that pitcher on your desk is really going to be the best power of suggestion for you to drink it throughout the day. So include a fancy flute glass to drink from, or a simple bottle of water that you can use with a straw so that you make it easy on yourself to drink down those 64 ounces. Our sixth strategy is to enjoy fresh citrus. The scent of citrus is refreshing and energizing. Citrus foods are also packed with vitamin C for immune boosting and for active and energetic lifestyles. The peel is packed with rejuvenating phytochemicals as well. So consider a fresh navel orange as an afternoon snack, or tossing two small clementines into your bag as an on-the-go snack. Add grapefruit sections to a salad. Squeeze lemon or lime juice into salads and beverages. Use citrus in marinades or frozen orange juice concentrate as a glaze in cooking, or zest the skin into recipes for soups, salads, dressings, or even baked items. Citrus may also be used as an appetizer, a halved grapefruit sectioned, or with main dishes as a palate refresher or as a dessert. So freshen up with some citrus. Our seventh strategy is to get herby. Fresh herbs have a wonderful aroma and create full-bodied flavor in recipes. Choosing fresh or dried herbs energizes the mind and body. Tone your immune and digestive systems, breathe better, and cleanse your sinus system with herbs. Add a pot of fresh herbs to your kitchen or outdoor garden. Our eighth strategy is to turn up the heat with peppers. Whether your palate prefers sweet or spicy, these peppers do offer a naturally energizing warmth. The natural sweetness and heat offer stimulation to the senses, digestion, and immune system. Peppers contain capsaicin, a natural antioxidant and metabolism booster to keep you energized. Get fired up with seasonally fresh sweet peppers in salads or roasted peppers on sandwiches, and enjoy the heated varieties of salsas, hot sauces, marinades, soups, stews, or chilies. Add salsa to an omelet to spice it up. Use salsa over a baked potato or on a sandwich, and add freshly diced pineapple, mango, or other fruits to add extra flavor in salsas. They're a really simple, no-cook option that will add beautiful color as well as flavor. The ninth objective is to share meals with others. When we're in good company with friends, family, a special date, a coworker, a loyal pet, or even at a local hangout with a favorite waitress, our energy is high. Sharing mealtimes with others is part of the balanced energy a meal can provide. When in good company, food tastes better, our digestion is smoother, and you will naturally be more relaxed to have better digestion. You'll be happier, better rested, clearer-headed, and energized for the next part of your day. We're less apt to eat for emotional reasons such as stress, boredom, loneliness, anger, and such when we're in good company. So list the places you enjoy eating or taking a break and relaxing at, such as a local cafe, a park, the home of a friend, a favorite room in your home, or even just a comfy couch that you like to sit on. For work time breaks, if there's a room that you can go to, someplace that is allowing you to get a break from your desk is a very good choice. Our 10th strategy that's naturally energizing is to be happy where you dine. Eating in places which make you happy are bound to energize you naturally. Setting the mood can make it all work out right. Relaxing and smelling the coffee, listening to the music, enjoying a cushy seating, or checking out the people at an away-from-home spot can always keep us refreshed. While energy levels may not be always optimal for going out, keep in mind that at home it's important to keep your dining area clear and well lit. Choosing a window seat with natural lighting can often provide a nice, refreshing sense of warmth. Being served a meal in a favorite cafe or having a picnic in a pretty park make mealtimes more enjoyable. Choose dining establishments which allow you adequate time and where the waitstaff is attentive to you. List places you enjoy taking a break and relaxing at, such as a local cafe, a park, the home of a friend, again, or a favorite room in your home. There are no rules here, and being happy where you dine is often as important as the choices you make. So our 10 naturally energizing strategies should offer you a variety of opportunities for you to choose a strategy that will nourish you best. Most of us, again, need to be reminded that nourishing yourself is not only from the calories and carbohydrates at the end of your fork, but really most importantly about you and what is going to allow you to get a relaxation and pleasure, to take a deeper breath and actually stretch a little bit before you sit down to nourish yourself with food. In an effort to help you choose some energizing strategies, whether they be for overall addressing of fatigue or as well to lightening up your weight, because some of us do have weight concerns when we're less active, is to give you some easy choices. So what I've done is to follow with a number of recipe choices that you can choose on your own to suit your palate, and I hope that they give you plenty of variety. To keep you interested in doing these type of choices, I remind you that all of the recipes that I provided require no more than 10 minutes and should be able to be made with ingredients that are easy to find in your local food stores. They also include many options that there is no cooking required, so you need not be a chef, and most of my clients that have used them have had limited cooking experience. So a sample might be something such as a creamy almond butter and sliced banana berry roll-up, easy no cooking option for breakfast, a hard-boiled egg and a slice of grain toast with some fresh citrus. I'll let you enjoy those recipes and pique your interest by just sharing a few and ask you to go at your leisure. In order to finish up on time today, what I would like to do as well is to also share with you some additional resources that we can have at your disposal. The MS website has wonderful information and is continually being updated to provide you with new and interesting resources. I'd also like to remind you that at the conclusion of March, which is National Nutrition Month, the American Dietetic Association will allow you to receive additional information in your local area by going to www.eatright.org, where wonderful dietitians like myself who do specialize in your concerns can offer you personalized attention. Personalized attention, just as with exercise, is always very important. And I know today we haven't had a lot of time and will not be able to answer all of your questions, but I do encourage you to seek out your healthcare team and to include a nutrition resource, because it certainly is important to take into account, because it is a daily decision that can really improve our overall energy. What you will find as well in the handouts is additional charts to help clue you in on different food cravings and areas that you might actually look for satisfaction and find greater success if you're tuned into your own needs. At the conclusion as well, I want to remind you that as part of a wellness center at Park Avenue Nutrition, we have found that energy boosting strategies include nutrition but can be very well complemented with improving your sleep, because we know that rest and sleep are the best for restoration. Having massage can also make a huge difference in terms of your energy, including teaching you how to do self-massage. Reflexology, or just massaging of the feet, can also be very restorative. Activities such as yoga, which we've mentioned, can also be very helpful. Meditation, as well as aromatherapy, can be very nourishing and overall improve your energy levels. So in summary, I remind you to consider eating, but not only at what's at the end of your fork for vitamins and minerals, but overall your nutrition from head to toe. Your medical team should include physical activities, dietary support, support groups, and worksite strategies that are appropriate for you. The website at msactivesource.com has great basic information, and the dietary recommendations there are also a good start. In addition, eatright.org is available by the Dietetic Association to find you a dietitian in your zip code. I also encourage you to seek a medical facility and a team that has allied health professionals for support. If you're not satisfied, I also encourage you to go more, because often we do have to persist. And I thank you for listening, and I look forward to your questions. Again, I'm Lisa Cohen from Park Avenue Nutrition.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Okay, Jenny, I think we're ready for some questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the number 1 key on your phone. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the number 1 key now. First question comes from Diane. Diane, please go ahead.
Yes, this is for the speaker, Lisa Cohen. The 10 points that you just listed, and you mentioned it had recipes, I was just looking at all of the handouts that were emailed to us, and I don't see that. I think they must have missed that in the email that was sent. So could you please repeat your contact information so I could contact you for that handout?
I'm going to jump in here. This is Barbara. A number of people did not get that handout because we weren't able to send it out early enough. But we will get that handout to you. So for those of you who do not have it, there's a reason why you don't have it. It was not sent out in the original batch of information last week. So we will make sure that you get that handout. If you don't, you can contact Steve and I will give our contact information at the end of the question and answer period, and you can contact one of us and we'll be sure that you get it. In addition, it will be on the New York City, Southern New York website, as well as on the National Capital Chapter website. You'll be able to link right to it from the employment section on each of those websites. Can we take the next question, Jenny?
Our next question comes from Michael. Michael, please go ahead.
Hi, my question is for Adele. Adele, you mentioned on your last page, you talked about dressing appropriately and you talked about taking a cool shower first. You also mentioned a couple of things that you could wear. Did you say there was some type of cooling vest?
Yes, there are assistive devices. There's cooling vests. Basically, there's vests that you can put these gel packs in and wear while you're exercising. There's also gel packs you can wear on your neck, and these type of assistive devices can be found. Your chapter will have information on how you can get them, and I know that the DC chapter has it. So,
this is Barbara again. I'm just going to jump in there. Someone just told me about something called a chili. It's like a you wet this, looks like a little scarf that you put around your neck. You wet it. The material absorbs the water and keeps it cold for a period of time. And every time you wet it, it just stays cold. And that would be a great thing to have in the gym with you. So you may want to look. I don't know the exact name of it, but I can try to find it and send it out to people. It's a chili something. Next question.
Our next question comes from Maureen. Maureen, please go ahead.
Hi, I was thinking about buying an elliptical for my home, and I was wondering what your thoughts are on an elliptical. Is the investment worth it?
Actually, the elliptical is actually one of the best equipment uses for persons with MS because it's a very stable exercise and it's low impact. It's a gliding type of machine. They do have different types. They do have ones that use the arms and ones that you don't have to use the arms. I think either way. Balance with the arms and legs going at the same time could be a slight issue, but for the most part, the Life Fitness one I've used is very solid. There's also a Precor elliptical that is really good. Your best bet is to get a really solid machine that's basically stability, what you're looking for. So I would try them out. I'd go to the fitness store and actually try them out. But they are really good to use.
Our next question comes from Claudette. Claudette, please go ahead.
Yes, my question is about the diet for citrus salads, the grapefruit. I question that because I've seen documentation saying that not to eat grapefruit for MS patients. Has that been changed?
I would always consult your physician because your doctors are always the best folks to go to. And, you know, people vary in terms of their medications as well. So, in general, it's not necessarily to be avoided, but I would always refer you to your physician.
Our next question comes from Deidre. Deidre, please go ahead.
Yes. During the call, hello?
Go ahead.
Okay. During the call, I think Adele mentioned something about there's a book of seated exercises. Is that something, can you go into more detail about where we can get that?
Sure. Do you want me to?
Go for it.
I'll actually take this question, Deirdre. Your local chapter, we do have two publications, one that's called Stretching for People with MS, and a second one that's called Stretching with a Partner for People with MS. So you can contact your local chapter by calling our toll-free number, which is 1-800-344-4867. And you can just put in the request. Again, it's called Stretching for People with MS or Stretching with a Partner. And there's diagrams and drawings that show different types of stretching exercises, strengthening exercises, flexibility. Adele, it's a pretty comprehensive publication. So you can definitely get that at your local chapter.
Our next question comes from Stephanie. Stephanie, please go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, is green tea good for you? Is it advantageous for you?
Green tea should be fine for you. It does have some natural antioxidants, which is great for anti-inflammatory. And what I would encourage is, depending upon how you are moderating your caffeine level, to look for one that does not have caffeine. And it can be used, remember, warm and cold as well. So seasonally, green tea should be fine.
Our next question comes from Wayne. Wayne, please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you. I know that you all diets suggest drinking a lot of water. And I try to drink a lot of water when I'm in a place where I can get rid of it. That tends to be an issue with me.
I think you're one of many, and you know, there is no exact amount of water. I have people who are very physically active who have 2 or 3 cups of water a day and do fine. But I would also encourage you to speak with your doctors because, again, certain medications do react better with the body and are more protective. It's more protective to take more liquids to flush your system, your livers and your kidneys. So you have to do what's comfortable for you, and I'm with you. We don't want you to be stressed out and not have access. But at the same time, it's better to sort of maybe start at the earlier part of your day or when you do know that you're going to be near a facility or when you're going to be at home. So as the weather gets warmer, I do remind people that sometimes getting the hydration earlier in the day is going to allow them to have a better energy level because the most common cause of fatigue is dehydration. So strategize your day for sure and, you know, encourage yourself and pat yourself on the back as opposed to feeling, you know, kind of punished if you're not being perfect with your hydration. And remember that fresh produce, fruits and vegetables, are very high in water. So if you're eating some of those in whatever form, they're going to give you some water as well.
Our next question comes from Katrina. Katrina, please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. This question is for Adele. I just wanted to know, do you think Zumba is too much exertion for a person who has MS?
It's funny. I just actually started teaching Zumba classes. Zumba can be quite a challenge if you're going from a, you know, if you're for anyone that's sedentary and wants to jump into a class right away. There are different level Zumba classes. I believe that with the exercise, you can probably just go at your own pace. It is a challenging workout, though. It's a lot of balance and a lot of core exercises, and it does get your heart rate up. So you can always vary the time. Maybe start off with 5 minutes or even look at a video. Maybe do a couple minutes at a time till you build up. I would suggest keeping your perceived exertion level more moderate to light when you're first starting.
By the way, there is a Zumba for the Wii, and that's something you could do at home that might be more at your own pace. So something to consider.
Our next question comes from Jennifer. Jennifer, please go ahead. Jennifer, please go ahead with your question.
Are you talking about Charles?
Charles, I apologize. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Is there any recognized value with the Montel Williams Health Master Blender with MS patients?
I'm sorry, I'm not clear what that is.
It's a blender that, excuse me, that Montel Williams advertises. I think it's something that he invented for creating juices or some type of drink that you can make on a daily basis that blends up all types of vegetables and fruit and I guess everything else.
It's probably fine. I'm not familiar with his particular recipes, but as you know, he's fairly knowledgeable. And the truth is that any blender or household, you know, easy-to-use device, and I recommend even the bullet or very simple blenders that you don't have to lift that heavy glass because it can be kind of difficult, and it also can leave a lot in the bottom that you don't get to eat. So whatever is comfortable for you, I think making beverages, even making soups and making different types of dressings is great to do in a blender and very easy and can be very nutritious. And you'll see in the recipes, I do include some smoothies as well because they're very easy. So go to it. Enjoy it. And you'll find that the fresh ingredients that you put in there, they smell fantastic when you juice them. So all good. And I'm sure most people, when they look at something freshly made, they think of the nutritionist. And guess what? It is good for you.
Our next question comes from Catherine. Catherine, please go ahead.
Hi, I know I don't get enough protein. This is for Lisa, and I was wondering what is something quick and easy to eat, like maybe a snack or something that has the most protein in it?
Sure. Well, I always encourage people to think both of easy to eat, and that means if you are a meat eater, which you need not be, a sliced turkey breast or a roasted chicken breast can be terrific, even some poached salmon, something that is a leftover would be great. And then on the vegetarian side, I would like you to consider something like hemp. Hemp seeds are very tasty. They're small and not really too crunchy, but more of a very nourishing source of both protein and essential fatty acids. And keeping in mind that healthy sources of fats are really the long-term energy that we need, consider something such as hemp, and it's easy to find in the health food stores. It comes in a little bag, and it's delicious to be eaten on its own, or it can be easily added to any type of salad or a smoothie. So hopefully those suggestions will give you some choices to think about. And within the recipes as well, you're going to see that there's many options in there with varieties of protein choices as well.
Our next question comes from Tanya. Tanya, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much. Yes, Lance.
Press the button, too. You want to go or you want me? Where do you go?
I want to go. Thank you. Sorry, everyone. My question was about the personal trainer. I think of personal training in three realms, strength training, aerobic training, as referenced by the elliptical that was earlier mentioned, and then the yoga, which was also mentioned. And I was just wondering whether or not there were any kind of guidelines or listings of people that might be certified in all three. And kind of analogous to that, how do you choose a trainer that might be adept in all three realms, particularly with someone with MS?
Okay. you can go on to the American Council on Exercise, which is ACE. You can just Google that and find that information. Basically, they do list personal trainers and their specialties. They have there are personal trainers that specialize with persons that have MS, and also they can show you the ones in your area. So that would be a great start. And that's a good question, because you definitely want to find one that is able to help with your needs.
And also, just to kind of piggyback on that, Adele, oftentimes your local chapter may maintain a list of local personal trainers. I know that at least here in the Washington, D.C. region, we do have a national database that we can all put in information in terms of personal trainers, fitness instructors, yoga classes, aquatics, a variety of different types of the exercise classes that Adele mentioned tonight. So, again, if you're looking for classes or for trainers, also contact your local chapter as well, because they might be able to give you names and numbers as well.
I think we have enough time for one more question.
Our last question comes from Irene. Irene, please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I am just following up on the cooling vest question, and I have some experience with cooling vests. And for a good heavy-duty piece of equipment, I went to a site called Steel, STEELE, and they have, you know, industrial strength cooling vests for that work terrific. My physical therapist uses it, and that's how I discovered them. So I just put that out there for anybody who can use it.
Thanks, Irene.
Okay.
I think we're going to wrap up questions there. And just to piggyback on what Irene said, I had mentioned earlier something about a chili pad. It's called Frog, F-R-O-G-G, Togs, T-O-G-G-S, chili pad. And it's basically, it looks like a towel, but it absorbs sweat away from your body and keeps you cool. And you get it wet, and as long as you keep it wet, it will keep you cool. And the temperature of the cooling towel actually seems to get colder the longer you have it on your body. I've seen one of these and watched someone who used it in very hot weather, and it was amazing. So just sharing that with you. If you're in the gym, this is maybe a good thing to kind of keep around your neck. And now I think we're going to wrap up for the evening. But before we do that, I just want to mention, if you could stay on the line for a few more minutes, we do have just a few questions to ask you as part of a survey. And Steve and I would like to give you our contact information, because we may not have gotten to all of your questions, and we would like to. So you can email them to us. My email address is B as in Barbara, M as in Mary, C-K-E-O-N, at msnyc.org. And my number is 212-453-3218. Steve?
Perfect. Thank you. And I can be reached by phone at 202-296-5363 and via email at steve.nissen, it's N as in Nancy, I-S-S-E-N, at nmss.org.
Thanks, Steve. And I just want to thank our speakers again who provided us with a ton of information, hopefully useful information. And again, if you missed any of that, if you need any of the handouts, please get in touch with Steve or myself, and we'll be sure to get them to you one way or another. On that note, Jenny, could you start the survey, please?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our polling session. Question 1 of 6 is, are you currently working? Press 1 for yes or 2 for no. Again, question 1 of 6 is, are you currently working? Press 1 for yes or 2 for no. This question is now closed for polling. One moment while we prepare your next question. Question 2 of 6 is, how would you rate the speakers? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor. Again, question 2 of 6 is, how would you rate the speakers? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor. This question is now closed for polling. One moment while we prepare your next question. Question 3 of 6 is, how would you rate the content of the program? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor. Again, question 3 of 6 is, how would you rate the content of the program? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor? This question is now closed for polling. One moment while we prepare your next question. Question 4 of 6 is, as a result of this teleconference, I have a better understanding of the relationship of nutrition on fatigue. Press 1 for strongly agree, 2 for agree, 3 for agree somewhat, 4 for disagree, or 5 for strongly disagree. Again, question 4 of 6 is, as a result of this teleconference, I have a better understanding of the relationship of nutrition on fatigue. Press 1 for strongly agree, 2 for agree, 3 for agree somewhat, 4 for disagree, or 5 for strongly disagree. This question is now closed for polling. One moment while we prepare your next question. Question 5 of 6 is, as a result of this teleconference, I learned of ways to manage some of my MS symptoms through fitness. Press 1 for strongly agree, 2 for agree, 3 for agree somewhat, 4 for disagree, or 5 for strongly disagree. Again, question 5 of 6 is, as a result of this teleconference, I learned of ways to manage some of my MS symptoms through fitness. Press 1 for strongly agree, 2 for agree, 3 for agree somewhat, 4 for disagree, or 5 for strongly disagree. This question is now closed for polling. One moment while we prepare your last question. Our last question for the evening is, as a result of this teleconference, I learned strategies to maintain and increase energy in my daily routine. Press 1 for strongly agree, 2 for agree, 3 for agree somewhat, 4 for disagree, or 5 for strongly disagree. Again, our last question for the evening is, as a result of this teleconference, I learned strategies to maintain and increase energy in my daily routine. Press 1 for strongly agree, 2 for agree, 3 for agree somewhat, 4 for disagree, or 5 for strongly disagree. This question is now closed for polling. This concludes tonight's polling session. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your participation. Have a great night.